Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All through this month of September, our second readings, our epistle lessons, have come from the letter of James, one of the lesser known apostles and lesser books in the New Testament by length, if then for no other reason. But it's a great book and there's much in it. And so the editors of our lectionary chose 4 weeks in a row to have the readings from James. But you can't get everything in 4 readings. And they skipped what I consider one of the most important parts of the letter to James, and that is the verses in chapter 1, verses 22 to 27, which I consider the central thought or the theme of the letter to James. And that's what my message today is going to be based on. If you'd like to follow in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1881, the right-hand column. Page 1881, the right-hand column, beginning with verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is our text. As it said in Bible class this morning, a sad reality of these opening decades of the 20th century is that there are a growing number of people in America, and frankly, here in Oregon, the most unchurched state in the Union, growing number of people who see little or no value in religion or in the Christian church. 20 years ago, surveys were taken that indicated over 80% of people in America considered themselves Christians. A survey taken by the Pew Research Organization in 2017 showed that number had dropped to barely 70%. The largest growing religious group in America are the nuns, not N-U-N like a Catholic sister, but N-O-N-E, nuns who have no religious affiliation. On any given Sunday, of those 70% who claim to be religious, only about 30 or 40% will be in church. We talk a lot about minorities these days, but the simple truth is that the fact that you are in church today makes you a part of a religious minority called church-going Christians. Those statistics lead me to raise the question, which I've entitled my sermon, "What good is religion? Is there any real value in the church or in being a Christian?" I keep hearing people today say that they are searching for something to give meaning or purpose in their lives. Young people especially are asking, "What are we really here for?" They have watched their fathers and mothers earn a lot of money, buy an expensive house, buy a luxurious car, spend thousands of dollars on electronics, and all the time being miserable because they've never been able to find any real sense of meaning or purpose in their lives. Searching people, searching young people, like the young people who attend the university all around you here, are seeking something, a religion, a philosophy, something that will bring value and purpose, hope and meaning into their lives. They're looking for something that will touch them at the deepest level of their souls. They don't merely want a religion that lives up here in their heads, but they want a religion that touches them down here in their hearts and souls. And that's exactly the kind of religion the Apostle James describes here in this New Testament letter that we're reading all through this month of September. He tells us about a religion that is genuine and has a real value in our lives. St. James writes, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." I think the first thing James is warning us about here is not to be surface Christians. That's what happens when people listen to the Word of God, but then ignore what it means for their lives. I think we've all known people who at one time or another have received a diagnosis from a doctor, and the doctor says, you need to have an operation, or you need to take this expensive medication, or you need to drastically change your lifestyle. But then they live in such denial that they don't do anything about it. I've known people like that, and maybe you have too. If you don't have this operation, something bad's going to happen to you. Sometimes the doctor has to be very blunt and say to them, if you don't have this medication, you are going to die. Well, that's bad news. And the first message the church has for people is also a message of bad news, as we call it, the law. It's the law that diagnoses a deadly spiritual cancer that people are facing in their lives called sin. And if we don't get treatment for that spiritual cancer of sin, then we are going to die spiritually and eternally. But many people respond to that message like an ostrich. They put their heads into the sand and ignore it, hoping that it will just go away. That approach doesn't help when you're diagnosed with cancer. And that approach doesn't help us from the spiritual cancer of sin either. St. James says it like this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Remember several years ago there was a big debate in our country about whether the Ten Commandments could be posted on public property. It was a big news item a few years ago. And frankly, that was a few years ago because Jay Leno still had the Tonight Show on TV. And Jay Leno used to have this skit called Jaywalking. Maybe you remember it, where he would go out with a camera crew and they'd stop people on the street and ask them some basic questions. When the Ten Commandments were in the news, he said to people, "Can you name any of the Ten Commandments?" And they would go, And they gave this one girl, and he said, "Come on, you can name at least one of the Ten Commandments." She said, I know, "Our Father who art in heaven." And good Catholic that he was, Jay Leno said, no, that's the Lord's Prayer. But he made a good point, and I still remember it all these years later, of showing how religiously uninformed, religiously ignorant people are today. They don't even know one of the Ten Commandments. People today, large numbers of people, are completely unfamiliar with the Word of God. Here St. James tells us that God's law works like a mirror and shows us what we look like in God's eyes. When we look into that mirror of God's law, we see all sorts of scars and flaws and dirt and smudges on our faces. And just going through the Ten Commandments reminds us that we have not lived the kind of life that God calls us to live. We have put other things more importantly than God. We've misused God's name. We have not always worshiped Him on the Lord's Day. We have disobeyed not only our parents, but those in authority over us, whether it be teachers or supervisors at work. We probably haven't committed murder, but we maybe have hated other people, and Jesus says that's the same in God's eyes. And we may not have committed actual adultery in the bed, but we have in the head, as we've had lustful thoughts in our heads. And we've stolen from our employer by not giving him a full 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. And bearing false testimony, giving false witness that is so common today as lying becomes more and more common in our society. And we have all coveted or wanted things that belong to others that God has chosen not to give to us. Yes, when we look into that mirror of God's law, We see that we are scarred and flawed and under the judgment and condemnation of a pure and holy God. But if we listen to God's word, we will hear a second message, a message of forgiveness, a message of hope, a message of life and peace. And that's the message of good news we call the gospel. Many people today think of the church as a place of bad news, but in reality, the church is a place of good news. My wife is a nurse, now retired. And when we were first married, I was in the seminary. I would often pick her up after work. As I'd sit there waiting for her to get off work, I'd see people walking into the hospital or brought in on ambulances. They were sick, they were injured, maybe they were dying. And one night I said to her, I hate being in a hospital. I see a hospital as being a place of sickness and death. Boy, she corrected me immediately. She said, no, I see a hospital as being a place of healing and life. People come here sick and injured, and they are healed, and they go home restored. Well, she was right, of course. And from then on, I've looked very differently at hospitals. People who see the church as a place of laws and condemnation don't really know what the church is all about. The church is really a spiritual hospital for sinners. When I was a vicar here at Grace in 1967, there were hippies all over the place, a lot of them in Eugene. And I remember a picture in the Eugene Register Guard newspaper of a hippie with his hippie hat and hair and a guitar on his back, standing in front of a Methodist church, and the sign read, "The church is not a hospital, the church is not a museum for saints, it is a hospital for sinners." And that's always stuck with me. The church is a place where God's healing love can touch people and make them whole again. Jesus' entire life was devoted to bringing God's presence and God's love and God's help and God's peace into the lives of hurting people, like in today's gospel, where we heard of the time when Jesus healed a boy with an unclean spirit. Whenever Jesus met blind people, he restored their sight. When he encountered the deaf, he restored their healing. He was a funeral director's worst nightmare because every funeral Jesus attended, he raised them to life again, and the funeral director never got paid for his services. And then when Jesus himself faced death, he was raised to life again, never to die again in that glorious Easter resurrection of our Lord. But Jesus' love for sinners, for outcasts, for hurting and harmed people was just too much for the religious leaders of Israel to accept. And so they cried out for the Romans to crucify him. But Jesus, too, ruined their plans by rising to life again on the third day. Then after he rose from the dead, he organized the church as he commissioned his apostles to go out into all the world to carry on the work he'd been doing. And he sent them out to bring God's love and forgiveness and peace, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Now for 2,000 years, that is exactly what the church has been doing. What good is the church? It is as good for our souls as our local hospital is for our bodies. It is a place of spiritual healing and restoration. St. James knows that the Christian church has something of great value to offer people, something that cannot be found anywhere else. We live in a college town, the two of Monmouth. Only our university is 9,000. Not how big is the University of Oregon these days, 25, 30,000. And there's some apartments across from our street, and there's a college kid lives there, and he's got a bumper that says, "Nature is my church," on his bumper sticker. And I want to go up to him and say, "When is the last time a tree told you that your sins were forgiven?" I've never found the occasion to do so. But James knows that the church, the faith of the Christian church, the religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless, is a religion that brings Christ's love to hurting people and tells us and assures us that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Just as Jesus reached out to people who were in need of God's love and help, so does St. James call on the church, on us today, to keep on doing that very same thing. Help those in need. Look after orphans and widows, and make sure you keep yourself spiritually pure by not allowing yourself to be polluted by the world. What good is religion? Does the church have anything of value to people today? The answer is yes, yes indeed. If we take St. James' words seriously and live them out in our lives, for when we do that, then people will respond to our message and will discover that through the church they too can find peace with God and eternal joy by being part of Christ's church on earth. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.